Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be in Bray again, preaching and meeting everybody and just bringing the word. As I say, my name is Eddie, married to Vicky, three kids. I woke up in Teague Lane and I'm one of the elders in Liberty. I've been here since the beginning. Remember, we used to have our first meetings in a flat in Dolphin's barn. And we all used to squeeze into Patrice's home and have our meeting there. It grew from there and it grew from, I think it was 12 of us, 12 couples. And we met in St. Andrew's Hall on a Saturday evening, I think it was. It was a pioneering experience and a very, I have to say, from Noel's point of view and Sharon's point of view, a very brave thing, because they just stepped out and they understood the calling of God. I remember years and years ago, when I was in Teen Challenge and I was in rehab, and I was brought by one of the workers down to St. Mark's Church, and we actually bumped into Noel and Sharon. I didn't know them at this stage. It was at Trinity College there, just outside. We were heading for St. Mark's. We were coming from Thomas Street. And the first thing that Noel and Sharon were having a conversation about their own church, and they were having a conversation about, they were talking to a guy called John that was with me. He said, "Now we're going to have our own church, and God has called us to reach the people of Dolphin's Barn and beyond." And it's always amazes me, especially when I come to Bray, especially when I'm in Clondalkin as well, that, you know, you just see the work of God. You see the plans of God being the vision of God. And it takes people then. Amen? It took a couple to say, "Look, we're going to go out there and we're going to, you know, start a church with no money, no building, no infrastructure. Me, that's bad enough. I was one of the team." It's just amazing to see what God does when people are willing. Amen? It's amazing to see what God does when people are willing. So bless the work in Bray and bless the growth of this church, and may God continue to call people and God continue to inspire people and strengthen people in the work that's to be done in this town. And Father, we bless you for your word this morning, which is a word about encounters. It's a word about meeting Jesus. It's a word about Jesus instructing us and guiding us and leading us on. And Father, would we take that on board, Lord? Would we see you as the shepherd? Would we see you as the king, Lord God? Would we see you that we can trust in you? That we can allow you to speak into our lives, Father God? That we can take on board all that you have for us, all that's in store for us, Father God, and that we would be blessed in it, Lord God, and we would know the filling of your Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to read from John 9, if you want to turn there. It's a story that talks about God encountering a man, Jesus encountering a man and doing something very, very weird and very, very strange. And then all of a sudden, Jesus meets this man's need. And it's a journey. This is all about a journey. It's about the journey that Jesus puts this man on. And it goes on like this. "As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' Having said this, he spit on the ground, made mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. 'Go,' he told him, 'and wash in the pool of Siloam.'" This word means sent. "So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing." I'm just park it there. And all of a sudden, We have this, Jesus is going on a journey and he sees a man blind. And not just blind from disease. There was many diseases in then days. There was lack of vitamins and lack of food and all that kind of stuff. And would cause blindness to come into people. We see it in Africa and we see glaucoma and all these diseases that happen in Africa. It's all just down to basic dietary needs. But all of a sudden Jesus sees a man born blind. He's born blind. From the very beginning, he never had sight. He was in complete darkness all his life. He knew nothing but darkness. He knew nothing but misery in that sense. He could never experience what everyone else around him was experiencing. He never knew what a sunrise was like. He never knew with the face of his brothers and sisters, his mother and father. He never seen them. And he never understood what it is to be that have that emphasis on your human life. He was in darkness from the very beginning. And Jesus saw this. And I love this about Jesus because he sees us before we see him. He has a plan for our lives before we even can comprehend it. I remember even in my own personal life, and I remember years and years ago when I was only a kid and Christian people used to come into my house and stay. And they used to take us off for the day, and it was great for us. We would be taken off for the day and up to Glendalough and up to Powerscourt and all these things. And all we done was drove them mad. We just used to slag them and make a joke out of them and break their cars. And I remember one day we were driving, and one of the guys jumped into the, he was trying to drive the car while the other guy was driving the car. And he was changing the gears on him and everything else, and we just drove them mad. But God was at work in my life. Before I even realized it, before I even understood it, here was the man blind, but God, Jesus, saw me. He saw me before I ever even comprehended him. In fact, he was a joke to me. And he was a point of to make fun of and to make fun of his people. But Jesus saw me. He saw me. I remember even weeks before I came to know him, I was trying to get myself clean and trying to get myself sorted out. And I swapped I asked my sister to move into my house up in Oakhart there. And I asked, could I live in her flat? And her flat was right beside, it was up in Dublin there, and I was trying to dry out. But it was a completely crazy thing to do. And I was really sick one morning. I went up Dublin and I was robbing things and trying to rob things and all that. And I was sitting there and this woman came over to me and I was in bits. And she says, would you like to come to church with me? Can I bring you to church? And I laughed at her. And I said to myself, the first thing that came to my mind was, go with her and rob the church. And robbed the people in the church. And there was a collection going around robbing. That was the only thought in my mind. And she persisted with me. But I said no. And a week later, I was in my home. And a man came into my home. And it was a guy called Lawrence. And he was coming in from a crowd called Staros Foundation. And then he preached the gospel to me. And he said, Jesus loves you. And can I pray with you? And I nearly ran him out of the house. And then he came back and he nursed my wounds and he looked after me and he had concern for me. Jesus saw me. He saw me. He looked at me and he saw me in my blindness. Even though I didn't want him, he saw me. And I love that about the nature of Jesus. When he walks by, he sees us. He never leaves us. He never ignores us. He always meets the need. Amen. If you have a need in your life this morning, Jesus wants to meet it. He never ignores us. He never walks by, ever. He's always there with us, and he always wants to heal us and bless us. And the people round about this blind man, you see, and life is like this at times, that we see judgment. And we see, who was at fault for this blind man? They said to the Lord, was it his father's sin, his mother's sin, was it his sin? And they judged the man. They didn't even look at their own lives. Jesus says, look at the plank in your own eye before you try to take the speck out of another man's eye. Were they saying they weren't in sin? Were they saying that their parents weren't in sin? But here all of a sudden there's a judgment on this man. And that's what we do as people. We judge each other and we judge our situations and we judge our scenarios and we judge everything. But I praise God that Jesus didn't judge me. Everyone else would judge. I remember, I'm sharing my personal story here, and it is a very personal story. But I remember people just put me into a box. They just put me in, there's the drug addict. He's no good for anybody. He's a waster. He's an idiot. He doesn't know anything. And people judge me and say, whose fault is it? This is his dad's fault. Is it this fault? What happened to this chap? And people judged me. And in fairness to them, a lot of the judgment was fair. But Jesus didn't judge me. Jesus saw the blind man. He saw him and he said, nobody has sinned in this man's case. Nobody has sinned, but it is for the glory of God that he will be healed. That his blindness is for my glory. And there's a crazy statement to make. Try and get your mind doctrinally around that one. Try and get your head into that. That it was for my glory that he was blind. And we look at our lives and we look at our position before we came to the Lord. And we look at even our troubles. And we look at our problems. And we ask ourselves, why is this happening to me? What went wrong? Why is my family like that? Why is my mind like that? Why am I beset with all these problems? What is wrong with me? What happened to me? And all of a sudden we judge ourselves and we can never see Jesus in this. But let me tell you, Jesus is in the middle of it all. And I'm going to say something crazy now. And he's probably turning around and run out over here. But I'm going to say something crazy. I thank God for my heroin addiction. I'm going to say it's a crazy thing. Because without that, I would have never have known him. Without that, a team of black stallion wild horses wouldn't have dragged me into a church. It took a brokenness for me to even listen. So I thank God for it. And Jesus says that no man sinned, but it's for the glory of God that he's blind. Because God's going to get the glory. And I love that attitude. And we can put that. Mervyn Carruthers wrote a book called From Prison to Praise. I don't know if anyone's ever read it. And he talks about praising Jesus for your troubles. And he talks about giving God the glory for your misery. And he talks about putting everything in front and saying, God, I thank you that I'm sick this morning. He goes on like this. I nearly threw the book in the bin. He said, thank you, Jesus, that I'm sick this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm this. Thank you, Jesus. And all of a sudden, God says, give glory to what in all things. There's a way to live. Because in the middle of it all, Jesus comes and he sets us free. Because we can sit there and blame all the time. We can blame. And it's a bondage. Blame this, blame that. It's their fault, it's that fault, it's stuff. All Jesus wants is let me in the middle and let me get the glory for your healing. Stop blaming and let me in. And I love that about the Lord. I love that about my faith. And Jesus carried on and he says to the blind man, and here's their responsibility. Now here's the challenge for us, church, this morning. He says to the blind man, he presented himself to the blind man, and here's where the encounter is. And he spat on the ground. Now he didn't have to do this. He could have said, be healed, open your eyes, like he did in many times. He could have said, go away and your sight is back. He didn't do this. He'd done something very, very weird and very, very strange. He spat on the ground and he made mud out of his spit and he put that on the man's eyes. And I often wonder, why did Jesus do this? What was the meaning behind this? Why didn't he just lay his hands on him and heal him? What was the point in this? And there is a point to this. It's called obedience. It's called journey. It's called direction. All of us as Christians have to come under that authority. We have to. We have to come under leadership. We have to come under direction. We cannot be these para-Christians that live outside the will of God and live outside the leadership of God and live outside the authority of God and go our own way. I don't think that that's God's will for our lives, but his will is that we come under instruction. We come under guidance. We come under direction. And he says to the man, he says, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, if you know Jerusalem, if you've ever been there, I was been there a couple of times. It's an ancient city and it has all these walkways and all these paths and all these skinny kind of alleyways and all that kind of stuff. And it's a very difficult city to get around, especially the old quarter. It's a very difficult place to get around. And he says to this man, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which wasn't there. He had to go on a journey. And his healing didn't come until he went to the pool. Yeah, we have to understand that this morning. His healing didn't come until he went. He could have said, I'm not going to the pool, I'll go to another pool. He could have said, no, someone wash my eyes now. And I believe this with my whole heart, he wouldn't have been healed. I believe this in my own heart. He had to go to Shiloh. And he had to ask people to bring him there. He was a blind man and he had to get help. And it's a type of the church. It's a type of our responsibility to each other. It's a type of our how we live with each other. Sometimes I need direction. Sometimes I need someone to tell me to go somewhere and do this. Sometimes I need someone to look at, this has gone wrong in your life, now you need to do that. I remember doing a bit of pastoral work in our church in the city centre, and I was talking to a guy, and there was an obvious thing that was going on in his life, and I gave him direction. I gave him direction. I said, look, pal, I can see just down the road here, and I just need to give you direction. And I didn't take direction. He left the church, and I haven't seen him in over a year. I live with it all the time in Teague Lane, where we have to direct these guys, where we have to say, look, you need to go to the pool of Shiloh. You need to go down this path. You need to do this. And as Christians, we are all responsible. We're responsible to the leaders. We're responsible to the word. We're responsible to our hearts. We're responsible to our conviction that we must go, that we must be found and be seen to be led by the love of Jesus Christ. It was love that sent him down to the pool of Shiloh. Not hardship, that God would get the glory. It was love that sent him down there. And he went down a convoluted way, down these paths, and two or three men, I'm sure, guiding him down this road and down that road until he got to the pool, which is a good distance back from where they were. And he washed his eyes in the pool. He was obedient. And the Bible's very clear. He came back what? He came back seeing. Are we hearing that this morning? Are we hearing that? Whatever's going on in your life, whatever's there, whatever trouble you're in, whatever angst that's in your life, whatever's there, come to Jesus and he will guide you. He will lead you into paths of freedom. He's come to deliver us and set us free and give sight to the blind. Is that a good thing? Are we giving an amen to that? Amen. Come to Jesus and he will lead you into freedom. Come to Jesus and he will give you your sight back. But also he will bring you out of trouble. He will bring you out of disaster. He will bring you into a prosperous place. He will bring you into where he will get the glory and no one else. And we're moving on in the story. And again, when the man was healed, people didn't believe it. First and foremost, isn't that an amazing thing? People didn't believe it. And I remember first years ago when Jesus done this for me, he said, he brought men along and he gave me the journey. He says, Eddie, go over to, Eddie, go to Teen Challenge up to Thomas Street. That's what he said to me. And then he was obedient and he went to Teen Challenge and Thomas Street. But Teen Challenge and Thomas Street said to me, now you need to stay with us for at least a year. And I says, go way out of that. I'm going to stay here for a month. And then he was disobedient to the convoluted journey. And Eddie left the place after a month. And within a few weeks, Eddie was back to his old ways and back to his old mess. And then Jesus came to me again. He said, Eddie, you need to go over to the UK and stay there for 16 months. And I did. And it was a convoluted journey. It was up and it was down. It was crazy. But again, what Jesus was doing was he was restoring my sight. He was giving me eyes to see. He was giving me an ability to understand myself, understand my position in the world. He gave me the ability to let go of all this unforgiveness and bitterness about everybody. The blame game. Remember the counselor saying to me, when we were coming to the end and coming to the counselor would say, hey Eddie, who are we blaming today? Who's at fault today? Who are you blaming now? And at the end of the day, where I was at, I was blaming football coaches and all at this stage. I was blaming people for not picking me on playing football teams. I was running out of people to blame. And Jesus says, come to me, son, and let the blame go and live your life and be free. And that's what Jesus done. He gave me my sight back. And again, you can see these things before they come. We can see the emotional, where we are in our emotions. A lot of us are locked up in our emotions. We're locked up. I had a condition called OCD. It's obsessive compulsive disorder. I was locked up in it. But Jesus, when he gives us our sight back, we can see these things. We can see them for what they are. We can bring them to prayer. We can bring them to him. We can say, Lord, I need you. I need you in this. And it's a great thing to have that in your life, that we're able to turn to him. But when I came back, no one believed me. I don't know if that's been your testimony. No one believed me. People were still, hold on a minute. Right, okay, yeah. But, you know, all I remember is are you real? Is this really happened to you? Who are you? That's what people were saying to me, even to the point where my own sisters didn't really recognize me. Who is this guy? We'll give it a minute or we'll give it a while and we'll see what happens. But no one believed that I had my sight back. No one believed it. And that's what happens sometimes. It says to this man, he said, who is this man? But at the end of the day, you know what the guy had to do? He had to stand up for his testimony. Amen. He had to stand up for his testimony. Now hold on for a minute. I am that man. I am him. No, you're not. He kept saying to him, his own family. No, you're not. I am him. I am that man. I am the blind man. Or I was the blind man. I'm standing before you. And guys, that's our challenge this morning. We stand up for our testimony. We stand up for what we are. I was once blind, but now I see. We stand up for Jesus. We stand up for him and we say, you know what? I don't care what you all say. I know what I am. I know what he's done for me. I know where he's brought me. I know what he's done. And he had to explain it 2 or 3 times to everybody. And they still didn't believe him. But he said this. He replied, after being grilled, he replies, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. And we move on to verse 35. And Jesus heard what they had thrown him out. He threw this man out. And when he found him, he said, and don't be surprised, guys, if society throws you out. People don't want to hear that nowadays. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if people throw you out. Don't be surprised if people turn their back on you. Don't be surprised if people ignore you. Don't be surprised about that. Because that's what happens when people come into the light. And darkness doesn't like the light. But don't be surprised about that. It's in here and it happens. And I remember even my own story. And I remember a few years before I came to know the Lord. And I was in a flat one time. And we were all doing the bowl thing in this flat. And this guy had a stone from Bray Beach on the mantelpiece. I mean, there's about 10 or 15 of us squeezed into this little flat. And one of the guys scratched his head. He says, what's the story with the stone? And he says, I was in contact with this Hare Krishna guy, and he told me that the stone represents me and represents. And he started going on about this whole spiel about the stone. And we were all going, wow. We're all looking at each other, the stone. Look at the stone. And we were all getting all, yeah, man, the stone. And he kept on drilling this, and it was a stone off Bray Beach. He says, yeah, this is cool, man. This represents the whole universe. The universe is on this mantelpiece. And we were looking at the universe. We were all tripping on this stone, man. And we were all buzzing on it. This is amazing. And about a year later, Eddie gets saved and Eddie becomes a Christian. And I meet half of these guys and they all thought I was crazy. They thought the stone was legitimate and worth looking into. And, you know, that had its values. But you see, when Eddie became a Christian, okay, wait for him. Don't talk to him. Weirdo. Weirdo. Mad. He's mad. And no one would talk to me. No one would give me anything. No, he's crazy. But yet the stone is still on your man's mantelpiece from Bray Beach. But that still gets represented. The darkness hates the light. Don't be surprised if people throw you out. and put you out there in madman's realms, because the darkness hates the light. But look at guys, stand up for your testimony. Stand up for what. All I could say was, I don't know what's going on really, but you know what? A year ago, I was blind, but now I can see. And now I know that that was just a stone from Bray Beach. And I'm not walking away from no stone in Bray Beach. I know who the truth is, and the truth will set me free and has set me free. And that's what we stand up for. And Jesus says to the man, I'll finish with this. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And again, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it wonderful? These little words, what did he do? He went and he found them. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't it? He went and he found them. He didn't leave him. Didn't forget about him. Didn't say, ah, well, I've done enough for that guy. He was blind and look around at the dark room. He went and he found him. He found out that he was thrown out. But he went and he found him. He looked for him. Listen, guys, he searched. Yeah? He searched for him. And he found him. Because that's what that's saying. He went and he found him. I love that. I love those little hidden things. And when he found him, he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus says, you have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man says, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus says, for judgment I have come into this world, so the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. And again, it's a beautiful picture. It's a picture of the man finding Christ. First he found his sight. Yeah? Then he found Christ, which is more important than any sight. He found his salvation. He found his salvation. He found the deliverance of his soul. He found Jesus himself. I am the man. I am the one. You're looking at him. And Father, we bless you for your word this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you come and you find us. I thank you, Lord God, that you don't judge us. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you come and you set us free. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for our suffering, that you would get the glory. I thank you for our pain, Lord, that you would get the glory. I thank you for our blindness, because if you didn't know we were blind, we'd never have known you. I thank you, Father God, that you send us on the journey. Lord Jesus, that you bring us into faith. But you bring us down them paths, Lord, of sanctification and growth and maturity, that you bring us into a knowledge of you, that you cause us, Lord, that our eyes would be open and we can see what we are and what the world is, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, that when we are rejected by our fellow men, that you come and you find us. You never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. That you come and you find us and you reveal a deeper knowledge of you. So, Father, we bless you for your word. And I pray that is anybody here that wants to come and for prayer, that they would give glory to God for their suffering. That they would say that it's through this that I came to know Jesus. That they would thank God and that he would get the glory for their pain. Because that's a real leap of faith. And they would come bring themselves into a place where God is getting the glory for their healing. And for their blessings and for everything in their life. And they would stop the blame game and come and get prayer and wherever. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in here that doesn't know you, that they would come up and find you.